Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. Most of us know it. But this right here, this principle that we're about to look at, which we've talked about before, but this will make the difference between a child-centered home and a Christ-centered home. Now, again, I've said before that as we look at this and we get into it, you know, we're going to look at a lot of deficiencies within ourselves. As we look at this, we may see maybe ways we were raised and it's like, man, I was kind of raised more in a child-centered home or something like that. We may realize that and we can't go back and change that. But what we can do is from this day forward, we can make some changes in our own lives, which is what a lot of this is going to apply. It won't just apply to our children. A lot of it's going to apply to us and be like, man, I'm a brat and I need to fix some things. And that's why we're doing this. So that may be what the case is. I know that's been the case for me. And maybe I shouldn't say I'm a brat, but I just usually just say what I think, and it's not always the best thing, but sometimes that's how it comes out. So, man, I'm not maybe I should have said, you know, realizing of ourselves that, man, I've grown up in kind of a child-centered home. But today we call that a brat, don't we? Amen. Okay, all right, so it works. Anyway, okay, so this principle right here is going to help us with that and will make the difference one way or the other, okay? Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And I really want to focus on the training part. Training a child. You don't train children. You train dogs. You train horses. No, you train children. You train children. Same principles. Consistency. Consistency. I mean, I had a dog before. It was a good dog till it turned and attacked my daughter and I had to kill it. But it was a good dog up until that point. It was a smart dog. And I spent the most time with that dog. I trained him to sit, to come, to stay, all that stuff. He was a good dog, man, and I felt good at the time when I would leave because I knew he would protect the home from anyone that would come. He was a smart dog. But I spent time training him. I remember going out in the yard and teaching him how to sit and having a bone and putting it over his head. You know, when you do that, that teaches a dog to sit because they want to keep looking at it. So that's how you get them to sit. You just keep doing that and you trained them to do that. And you'd say sit and you do that and they start doing it. And then they start learning the command and you teach them to do that. You teach them to do those things. So I was training this dog and I spent time with him and the dog learned how to do these things. It helped that he was smart too because he got it right away. But I mean, it's the same principle when we apply it to our children. If we train up a child in the way he should go, when he's old, he won't depart from it. So if we train our children that they always get their way, then guess what they're going to expect when they get older and they don't get their way? They're going to throw a fit, which is what we saw happen with all these millennials that were crying because Trump won. But they're used to getting their way. They've been trained that they always get their way. And when they don't get their way, they throw a fit and start screaming and throwing a temper tantrum. And you just saw adults throwing a temper tantrum. That's all that was. Because they've been trained to do that. But it should work in the opposite as well. That we train them to have a Christ-centered home. And we will get to all of that. Right now we're looking at the child-centered home. But training is what will make the difference. Even right now you say, I've blown it. Well, I've blown it a lot too. But we can fix it from here forward at least. Amen. We can try to. And that's what we need to do. Learn from your mistakes and just move forward. Stop making the same mistakes. Stop doing the same thing over and over. Because that doesn't help. It's not helping the child. You say, well, it brings peace to my house right now. It's not in the long run. You're hurting the child. Amen. You're only hurting the child. See, we'll get to that, though, if you actually love that child, okay? You need to do something about it. All right, the child-centered home. This is where children learn to interrupt adults talking. They use manipulation and rebellion to get their way. Look, all of us have had our kids interrupt us, okay? And all of us have been talking to someone and we just answer them real quick and send them on their way, okay? We've all done that, all right? But when it's a regular thing, you need to stop them and say, no, stop and wait. Stop talking, you're interrupting, wait. And I've made my kids wait excessively long because they did that before. On purpose, I made them wait longer than I normally would have. Why? Because I'm training them. You wait till I'm done. Amen. When I'm done, you can talk. You don't just come interrupt people. It's rude. I mean, none of us like when people do that to us. And I mean, we're all guilty of these things. I'm saying that so we can look to ourselves with some things we got to fix. But okay, children learn to interrupt adults. They use manipulation and rebellion to get their way. Wait, where am I at? I'm right there where I need to be. Okay. I just feel, maybe I've gone over these, but I feel like, man, this is good stuff here. I should hit on these again, but we've already done that, so I won't. Okay, they dictate the family schedule. They take precedence over the spouse's needs. or they have an equal or overriding vote, they demand excessive time or attention, and they escape the consequences of sinful and irresponsible behavior. I want to stop just to make sure I don't get ahead of where we're supposed to be picking up, because I had it in my notes right here written down. Okay. All right, we already hit on that last time. But they escape the consequences of sinful and irresponsible behavior. We just let it slide. Man, I'm telling you, you want to train your child, you've got to, every act of disobedience, you've got to be on them. Everyone. I mean, when our children were young and we began to learn these principles and we would bring these things out before them, if we asked them to do something, they disobeyed. And so we'd take them into I'd say, go to my room. And I'd go, get the paddle, go to my room. And they knew where the paddle was. And, you know, it's the walk of shame. And they're like, ooh, you know, crying as they go on the walk of shame and just knowing what's coming, you know, and they get in there and they're waiting. And then, you know, you whoop them. And immediately afterwards, I'd have them do something, anything. It didn't matter what. I just pick something else to see if they're going to obey me. And I hated doing it. I hated having them do something else. Because inside I'm praying, I'm like, Lord, please let them obey me. Please let them obey. Because I don't want to whoop them again.
Amen.
But if they didn't, obey immediately and with the right attitude.
Right.
That's key. And with the right attitude, then I take them back in and whoop them again. And right after I whooped them, then I'd be like, hey, go do this. It didn't matter what it was. If I told them, hey, you know, I want you to go, you know, walk around the table five times. It didn't matter. I just want, are you going to obey me with the right attitude? Because if you've done that, then I've broken your will. And that's what you have to do. You've got to break their will. Not their spirit. Break their will. That's key. If you don't break their will, you're strengthening their will.
Amen.
You're strengthening and it's going to get stronger and stronger and stronger. And the fight's going to be harder and harder to get to the point where you break their will. But once you break it, it's easier and easier, and it gets easier and easier. Some kids are just naturally, I mean, my girls, when I would talk to them, I didn't have to paddle them. I would, so they knew there was a consequence. But man, they were broken already before I got there. They were already broken. Other children, it wasn't like that. It was a little different. Other children aren't like that. Not everyone's that way, okay? But they escape the consequences of sinful and irresponsible behavior. We're training them that, hey, you can do what you want. It doesn't matter. You face no consequences for your wrong actions.
Right.
Oh, you lied to us? That's okay. Go ahead, do it again. Because there was no consequence. Deceived us? Hey, go ahead. You know, you hit your mom? Hey, go ahead. That's a no-no. Man, Dad, you ought to be down their throat when you see your children being disrespectful to their mom.
Amen.
I mean, you ought to be all over them. My wife, if I see it, my wife doesn't even have a chance to say anything because I'm on them. If I catch it, I'm like, you don't treat your mom like that.
Amen.
Hopefully you don't really see that happening with my children. Why? Because we trained them when they were little. Because every kid's going to try it at one time or another. I mean, haven't you ever gotten a bad attitude at work? Man, I got a bad attitude at work about a month ago. I had to, about 30 minutes after it, I was mad because I had a bad attitude with my boss. And I was mad at myself because I did that, and I had to go apologize to him later. And he said, don't worry about it. We're all men here. I said, no, for me to be right with God. I said, I'm sorry. And he was okay. It happens to all of us.
Amen.
But we got to train it the right way. So child-centered home. Teach our children to speak to parents as though peers. Huh. Man, I want to be friends with my child, but they are not my peer.
Amen.
You're my child. And yeah, you want to be close with them. You want to have that good relationship with them. But we're not on equal ground here. You do what I say. That sounds like a dictatorship. Amen.
Amen.
That's exactly what it is. And I'm the dictator. What? Yeah, I follow the word of God. See, you have excuse to disobey. You have biblical reason to disobey when the person in charge of you or over you tells you to go against the word of God. Then you obey the higher authority. You obey God. So if I tell my children to do something wrong, they don't have to obey me. Again, there may be consequences for it. Just like if our government tells us, you can't preach the gospel anymore. Well, the higher authority said we can. So we're going to do what the higher authority says, but there may be consequences to pay for it. Same principle there, okay? So we speak to our child-centered home. Children learn to speak to parents as though peers. Go to 1 Corinthians 13:11. There's a time for it here. Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. There's a time for that. Our children are not our peers. He went on to say, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. See, there's a time of maturing, a process of maturing. And as your children get there, then yes, your relationship with them will change. But when they're a child, they need to be a child. They don't dictate what happens in the home. Just like we looked at before in reviewing, that they don't dictate the family schedule. Don't let your children do that. And I get all of us are going to have things, well, we got to do this for whoever. I'm not talking about that type of stuff. I'm talking about that everything that they do and want and all the activities they're involved in, our world revolves around them. Nope. No. I mean, my kids, when they're in sports, I'm like, we're not missing church, period. We're not missing church, nothing for sports.
Amen.
Amen. I mean, now you look at, you got all these sports activities, everything's on Sunday now. You got baseball, football, everything, they put it all on Sunday. I'm like, why? Who's in that, charge of that thing? Think it might be the devil has a hand in that? Just maybe. Just maybe. The devil has a hand in some of that. Sports, nothing gets our family out of church. I don't care. Amen. Throw your fit. Good. Keep it up. I'll whoop you. Right. I'm serious. I'll whoop my 17-year-old daughter if I have to. I'm not going to have to. She doesn't. But you know what? I will.
Amen.
I would if I have to. That's what needs to be willing to happen
right.
In our homes. If it's necessary, it's like, look, keep it up. I'll hold you down and whoop you. Now, hopefully you've trained your child. You wouldn't have to hold them down. They would just submit. When you've broken their will. You think, that sounds wrong. Well, you better go study the Bible some more then. Because our will is to be broken to God and we're considered His children.
Right.
Isn't it? Aren't we supposed to be submitted and broken to His will and not ours? Isn't that what it means to be a living sacrifice? And He says He's our Father and we're His child. Why is it any different with our children? We have their greatest good. We should have their greatest good in intended. And you children ought to understand that we have your greatest good and you should submit to what we say.
That's right.
Because we love you more than your stinking friends.
That's right.
Man.
Amen.
I can't get that across enough. That we love you and care for you more than your friends.
That's right.
Even if your friends are family. So don't speak to parents as though peers. Well, that's a child-centered home. A child-centered home, the children learn to be the dominant influence in the home. The world revolves around them. That's what it comes down to. Let's go ahead and look at these passages right here. 1 Samuel chapter 2. And again, I want everyone to understand, I feel like I need to keep saying this. I want to remind you, I'm not picking on anybody as we go through this. I'm not. I know some of this is hitting close to home with many of us. It has with us, with our family. But I'm not picking on any of you. I want to help you. That's why we're going through this. That's why I'm teaching these things, because I want to help your homes. I want to help your children. I want your children saved. And I want you to see your children saved and not just saved. I want to see your children serving God. Loving God. I am sick of seeing so many young people hit 18 to 20 years old and they're gone. I'm sick of seeing that. I'm sick of watching that. Let's start training them to love and serve God best we can. I know they're going to have a mind of their own and they might say, I'm done with this, and get up and leave, and we can't change that. That's on them. But if we can do something to help stop it, if we can turn the tide of that, if we can start really teaching salvation properly and getting that through to them, and us seeing our children saved and us praying for their salvation and seeing a real life change in them, that they love God, that they're not loving God because we're making them, and amen, we ought to make our children be in church. So they need that guidance sometimes. They need us to tell them, no, this is what you're going to do. You're going to do right. And you test that, you just give them a little leeway. We're going to extend the leash a little bit, so to speak. We're going to give you a little space and watch what they do and say, oh, you crashed and burned, didn't you? Okay, let's pull that back. You can't do that. Thought we could trust you. We couldn't. Bring it on back. And how do you let the leash go? Hey, give me that phone back. You can't have it.
Amen.
We've done it.
Amen.
We've done it. You say, oh, you just say all this stuff. You don't do it. No, we've done it. We've got my family, four of us have, you know, $800 phones. We're a bunch of morons. I'm just telling you, my family's dumb as a box of rocks. We got phones that cost $800. I don't even know what's wrong with us. That's just stupidity right there. But we got them, okay? And I'm telling you, if I had to, I'd destroy them with a hammer.
Yep.
I'm not going to let that junk pull my kids away. My kids can't, they might, if they do it behind my back, I can't stop it. I mean, if I find out, get the paddle. Amen. But I don't think they have. Maybe they have. I don't know. But they cannot have friends with anybody that we don't know about on any social media that we don't approve of. What are you, a dictator? Amen. You're catching on. Amen. You're catching on. I'm a dictator. I am, because it's my job to guard them.
That's right.
They don't have the discernment that we do being older. And teenagers, because they're getting a mind of their own and they're beginning to see things and start to think outside of just, you know, at a certain age, they, you know, when they're young, they just follow mom and dad, whatever mom and dad say. But as they get older, it's not a bad thing. But they start questioning things. It's not bad. Because they, well, I'm the same way. Well, why? I asked all those questions. I'm like, why? Why this? Why this? Why this? Why this? I had them all. But I was submitted to the Bible. So show me in here. Show me in here. Show me in here. So it's not a bad thing when they start asking that. Amen. Let's answer it. Hey, and if parents, if you don't know, say, let's ask pastor. Come ask me. And if I don't know, I'll study it. I'll get you something. We'll figure it out. But don't get mad when your kids ask why. And I know it's more difficult with your own children, but, you know, be willing to answer those questions for them. Be willing to help them with that and to answer those things for them, and to guide them and bring them along. But they get older and they start thinking for themselves. And they don't always have the discernment that we do. So we need to be there for them to help guide them, to teach them. No, you don't do that. You know, social media, guide them through that. I mean, my daughters haven't really put up bad, what I would say are bad pictures on social media, but there have been a few I've seen it, or my wife's seen it or whatever, and I've texted my wife, I'm like, have them take that down. Because it's just maybe not the best. I said, have them get that picture down. Because it just, you know, a girl, it's innocent to her, but to a guy, he's not going to look at it like that. So I've had to tell them, have them get that down, take that picture down. What am I doing? We're guiding them through it. We're helping them. We're protecting them.
Amen.
We watch all their friends. They can't have, we approve of their friends. I won't let them hang out with friends that I think are a bad influence. And there have been times maybe we did let them and then we realize that's not good and we pull them away from that. That's your job as a parent. That's what you have. That's your training. You're teaching them. When you do that, you're teaching them. You're training them. You're saying those aren't the type of people you need to be around. And as children, you need to submit to that.
Right.
You need to submit to that. You need to be willing to say, yeah, you know, you're right.
Amen.
Parents, you know when your kids are hanging around with a bad influence, it's almost like the day of, you can see it in their attitude. And my children have been like, there's nothing different about me. Like, okay, when both me and mom see it, there is something different about you. And instantly, we just know now, who are you hanging out with when they were in school? Who are you hanging out with? Who'd you hang out with today? We just ask that question. Who are you with? And it's amazing. I mean, we're like praising God every time summer rolls around because our kids' attitudes completely change. And it's like, wow. Wow. And I don't mean to pick on my kids. I know being the preacher's kid, it's like, great, Dad, here he goes again. So I'm sorry, but I'm saying all this to help people. Look, our family faces all this same stuff too. It's not like you're a preacher, so it's like God's like, zap, everything's perfect and goes great. It doesn't happen. Okay, that does not happen. Yeah, me too. I wish it was too, but it doesn't happen like that. But the influence your friends can have over you. And by the way, let me say, come back tonight. Brother Brad's going to preach the message he preached on Wednesday, because I think all our kids need to hear it. And many of them were in there, and I want all of them to hear it. What, the same message twice? Yep, because we need it. We need it. Every adult needs to hear it, not just our kids. But our kids are at a vulnerable stage. So we have to get in there and guide them and help them to understand these things and teach them discernment. Teach them, here's what you look for. Here's why you don't hang out with that person. And sometimes it's just asking them questions. Well, do they do this? You know, I've had to ask my kids, hey, how's their walk with God? Do they read their Bible? Well, not really. Do you ever talk about the Bible? Some friends it was yes. Some it was like, well, no. I was like, well, do they go to church regularly? No. Well, are they serving God? No. So do you think you should be friends with them? Let them answer for themselves. They know the answer, even if they'll just sit there silent and don't say nothing. Well, that's obvious. We know the answer to that. We know the answer to that. Should you be with them if that's how they're acting? No. So you want to be an adult and act like one. Make the adult decision. See, but as kids get older and they start, you know, thinking, not that when they're younger they don't think for themselves, but you understand what I'm saying, is they tend to follow more mom and dad, what mom and dad say. It's like, okay. But as they get older, they realize that they have a mind for themselves and they begin to think for themselves and things of that nature. And they start doing that and they start realizing, you know, some things for themselves. We have to guide them in that and teach them how to do that. Teach them how to make those decisions and give them some leeway in it. Allow them to make mistakes, but guide it. Pull them back from it when they do mess up, when they do wrong. Now, for a teenager, it's harder for them to think because they're like, I know what I'm doing. I've heard it. Or I've seen it in the... Okay, so it happens. So they think, I've got it under control. I know what I'm doing. But I've given this analogy to my children before. I'm like, now, my wife used to work at a preschool and they had a fence around the playground. I couldn't figure out why they had the fence around the playground. I mean, the parking lot goes around it and the playground's right there, so all the parents would drive through. And I just couldn't figure out for the life of me why they had a fence. I mean, how mean and cruel that they wanted to lock these children in this cage all day. And they wouldn't let them out. They were stifling their little liberty. And I couldn't figure out why they had this fence around that parking lot. And I asked my kids, I said, you know why they have this fence here? For these 2, 3, 4, 5-year-olds. Because I'd notice sometimes they'd like maybe get a ball and they'd throw it over. And they'd go running to the fence. And this fence would stop their little liberty from being able to get their ball. Like, how mean. That's cruel, isn't it? Why would they do that? And then it was like, oh, maybe that fence is actually protecting them. Huh. Could it be? The fence that's stifling their little liberty, that's limiting what they can and can't do, could it be that that fence is protecting them? And I asked my kids that. I'm being somewhat sarcastic with you. I didn't go through that whole thing. I understood that already. But I asked my kids, I said, why do you think there's a fence there? And they said, well, because they'll run out in the street and a car will hit them. I was like, you understand that, don't you? They're like, yeah, of course, we see that. Like, but does a 2- and 3-year-old see that? They're like, no. So you're saying you understand something that maybe they don't yet? They were like, yeah. And I was like, Now, do you think me and mom... When we tell you, no, no, you can't do that. Well, why? And Brandon likes it. Why, right? Remember that? Well, she told me she's used it before. Okay, because all kids have. I have. Okay, why? I've done it before too. Okay, but, you know, when they're asking why... Why can't I do this? Why can't I do that? And sometimes, look, it's not always that parents have, well, the Bible says this, this, and this. It's not always that. It's just sometimes like, no, I don't have a good feeling about this. I think this is wrong. We're not going to do that. And sometimes that's what it is, and you kids need to be okay with that. But you also need to understand, just like I think most of the teenagers on up in here can understand, that we see why there would be a fence for 2, 3, 4, 5-year-olds to protect them from the dangers that they don't recognize are out there. They'll just run out in the street and a car will plow them over. We get that. I understand why that fence is there. I understand why they are limited and they can't do the things that they think they should be able to do. I understand why that fence is there. Now, you younger people, I want you to listen up, and maybe you need to understand some things that maybe, just maybe, your parents, just like you understand some things the 2-year-old doesn't understand, maybe your parents understand some things that you don't yet understand. And there's a danger there. And they're putting a little invisible fence around you that's protecting you from running out into danger and getting hit and destroyed. Maybe that's what the case is. So before you throw your fit and you want to have your way and you want to walk off and mumbling under your breath, maybe you ought to stop and say, Lord, thank you that I have parents that love me enough to tell me no.
Amen.
Because I had a lot of friends that didn't. I did all sorts of wickedness, but I had friends that whose parents didn't do nothing. They could do whatever they wanted. And I can thank God that my mom stopped me from doing some things. My mom didn't let me do some things. At the time, I didn't understand it. I was like, why? And I was. But as I got older, I understood it. And I promise you, as you get older, you'll understand it. But there comes a time. What does the Bible say something about the just shall live by what? Sight? No, it says the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. It's talking about us trusting our Heavenly Father.
Amen.
We don't always understand it, but we trust Him. Okay, God, I don't get this. I don't see it, Lord, but I'm going to trust You. So parents, let me throw it on us as well. If we want our children to trust us, if we're going to train them to trust us, they better watch us and see us trusting God. They better see us trusting God. Not trusting Visa and MasterCard. Not trusting Grandma and Grandpa. But trusting God.
Amen.
They better see it lived out in our life too. If we're going to train them in it. Set the example. That's training too, by the way, them watching you. So we need to trust. All right, a child-centered home, they shouldn't be the dominant influence in the home. Where are we at? I guess we'll pick up with that next week.